The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. 4FM.
Is it fair that one person has to pay for a house through the nose with his wife, pay a mortgage, and somebody else gets one next door for free on the council list? And the reason I'm going to talk about it is because of an interesting comment and message, let's say. This is the message I got yesterday after yesterday's show. Hi, Niall. I was listening to the show yesterday about the usual suspects protesting in Summerhill. It was a good show, Niall, but I'll be honest, it pisses me off when I listen to these lowlifes and lefties on your show suggesting they should get everything for nothing. Where else in the world would you be classed as homeless if you were living in a hotel? Anyway, I wanted to run my situation past you and your listeners. Myself and my partner have been renting privately for the last 10 years. We live in a two-bedroom apartment with our two children under 10 years of age and the dog. And I'll be honest with you, we live in a kip. And my children don't go out because of the types of children that live in the area. But the rent is not bad and it's allowed us to save for the last few years. My wife works, as do I. And between her mother and childcare, we manage. I'm self-employed and work 60 hours a week, and my wife is a school teacher. So the wife obviously is working, and her mother is minding the kids obviously for part of the week, and she's putting them into childcare for the rest of the week, and he's working 60 hours a week. So they're both working hard. I'm sorry it's a long story, but I need to give you a bit of background. Last May, we saw some houses were coming on the market for sale. And we basically thought we had raised enough to make the leap. The houses were €375,000. And we got a loan approval, and we had our deposit of nearly €40,000, which we were going to beg, borrow and steal for. We queued up to see the show house. And only 2 weeks ago, we put a booking deposit of €5,000. Last week, I was informed by another couple in the that were buying in the housing estate that they were going to put social welfare housing. And as our house wasn't picked near the back of the housing estate, we would have been surrounded by people on social housing. I was absolutely gutted, as is my wife. I'm going to be honest. I don't want freeloaders living in the same estate that I am paying good money for through the nose. I think the system is so unfair. Nobody from the government is helping us, and we will have to sacrifice so much for this mortgage, which is going to be over €1,700 a month with insurance. I'm sick of this country. We would be far better off packing in work and just leeching off the system like everybody else. Call me a snob, but we are thinking of pulling out of the sale, although we will lose a percentage of our own deposit. Please ask your listeners, is this actually fair? Well, is it fair? Now, Martin obviously believes it is fair. And I'll talk to Martin in a second if he wants to come on the air. He's welcome to. But I'm asking you, is it fair? Is it actually fair that somebody will work hard to buy a house and somebody else will move in next door? Now, by the way, don't for a minute think that I think that the person next door, or he thinks the person next door, shouldn't have somewhere to live. He believes they do, and he believes that the state is there to support people. Although I think people are sponging off the state, to be honest with you. But there are people out there who are genuinely in vulnerable situations and need all the support they give and should have a roof over their head. But he believes not beside him, where he's just worked hard for it. Is he being snobby? Is he being a snob, or is he right? I mean, is that fair? Is it fair that you put somebody in a house next door to somebody else who's working hard for it? Let me know what you think at 53524. Is it fair? Maybe you think, yes, it is. That's the way we have to do things, Niall. Or no, you think it's completely wrong. Keep texting 53524. That's 53524. Yes, there should be government support for short-term social housing, but not lifelong lazy sponging wasters, says Liam. Another person says, Ballymun were given 7 towers and they totally effed that up. Who are they? The people, you gobshite, Steve from not from Finglas. I don't get the point you're making, Steve. So you're saying the people effed it up, not the government. All right, okay. Putting all social houses together creates ghettos now. Well, there's an interesting point. It creates ghettos. But you could argue that the government should know better than putting social housing together because it creates ghettos. But in saying that, who creates the ghettos? It's not the government that creates it. It's the people that go in there. So we're dealing with, then what you're saying to you is we're dealing with a particular type of people who like to commit crime, get involved in antisocial behaviour and act like idiots. Text 53544. Is it fair that one person is paying through the nose with his partner, working his ass off, £1,700 for a mortgage for a house, and moves in literally next door to him is somebody who is not paying for it, essentially getting it as a council house on obviously a low subsidised rent, which is obviously coming out of their social welfare. Is that fair? Yes, you believe it's fair, or no, you believe it's not. Let me know what you think at 53544. Finn, you're on Classic Hits. Or Classic Houses, I was going to say. Classic Hits.
How's it going, Ali? Right?
Well, but the last 2 days, you might as well just call it Classic Houses.
Yeah. I my point was going to be that if the social housing schemes build houses and put social housing in one block, it does become a ghetto. But I think now, because of the uproar, because there are these type of ghettos made, practically spreading the houses around to different estates that are new. You know, there's new estates being built in Cork at the moment, and we know for a fact that there's social housing going in among them. So I think I don't think there's been a snob, but I think if he was given the choice at the start, it would have been a personal decision, and we wouldn't be discussing it today. He would have said, no, I'm not taking the house. But who knows, somebody might be getting social housing, could be salt of the earth, or just need housing, you know? And it's a case of, like you just said, it's not the houses that become ghettos, it's the people that go in there.
Well, it is. Yeah, this idea that it's the government's fault for creating ghettos. Yes, maybe the government should know better because of our experiences of the past, but it's not the government that created the ghettos, it's the people.
Yeah, but the past has... And they have, you know, they're not coming up. Like yesterday, you had your very interesting topic, or it was on last night in the repeat, about putting the log cabins in people's gardens and whatever, on estates. And your point today saying if there was short-term help for people to get houses and then create a scheme like they had back in the 60s and 70s, where you would eventually be renting to buy the house, and if you're happy there, you stay there. Like, but you get people go in there and a sense of entitlement in this country. I don't like it because next door is a bigger garden and they want to move. That kind of thing has to be wiped straight
but it,
out.
But it must leave a taste on the mouth of some people. If you've got a young couple who are working, you know, round the clock with a couple of kids going into childcare, they're sacrificing everything to have their mortgage and eventually have their own their own home in 25, 30 years. It must leave a bad taste in their mouth. Then they look at the neighbour moving in, you know, I don't know, Mary or Johnny with three kids, you know, and they don't pay a penny for it, and they're getting everything handed to them for nothing. Must really piss them off.
Oh, it would. But Mary and Johnny might be in a certain situation where they're not lucky enough to be in employment. And I'm not saying that they wouldn't be if they're given the choice, but, you know, these things happen, and it's the way the country is at the moment. Because
Why are Mary and Johnny not lucky enough to be in employment? That's a choice Mary and Johnny are making.
I know, but like they could be a disability within the family. They could be something, and they're just down in their luck, and they need to have a roof put over their head because their kids could be going on to education.
I'm going to get sick of this whole. And somebody mentioned yesterday that Ireland, it was a housing estate agent actually rang up and said Ireland was turning into a socialist society, and it is. When I saw this story today, you know, for example, it's all over the news, it's all over the papers, it's everywhere, of this family in Tallaght station. And the six kids, you know, sleeping on the benches. My heart goes out to those children. It's not that I don't have any compassion. Absolutely, I do. You know, it's a shocking situation for six children to be in. But who put those children in that situation? It's not the government.
Yeah, I know.
The government didn't put them into that situation.
I agree with you 100%.
But why is everybody saying all the housing, well, all these quangos that are paid for by the state, by the way, they're all state funded, all these housing agencies and charities and all these kind of feeders and what have you. Why are they turning around and saying this is the lowest point the government has ever got to? The government didn't do that to that family.
No, I agree. They didn't. And that, I'm sure that there are cases around the country, but it's just a case of if somebody, like, I remember if they put a housing estate not too far from the city, and they put some of the travelling community in there. And because the travelling community didn't really want to be in those houses, they just wanted to have they were putting the horses in the houses and they're still putting the caravans in their drive. And then that's the government's choice and the council's choice. They're actually giving them those people those houses. They should be well vetted, and they should be an interview process and a process of, you know, right, are they suitable for this estate? You know, we're not going to put 30 families into an estate buying the houses and then put four families in there that are in...
Well, I mean, if you're a traveller, with respect to travellers, and you want to be housed and you want to be in the settled community, you know, in the interview process, it should be, question number one should be, you're not going to be keeping any horses in your front garden. You're not going to be having a caravan hanging around. You know,
but I'm not pointing the finger at travellers.
No, and neither am I. But what I'm saying to you, that should be part. If you want to live within the settled community in a housing estate, there's rules and regulations to living, you know, in a city or, you know, any council estate. There are rules.
Yeah, but there should be a situation come into it as well in the interview process to say, right, what is this person's capability of work, and what is this person, and going on actually putting something back into the state. So they say, okay, we're going to help you for a year. in a year's time, we're going to sit down and review your situation. Why haven't you got a job? Okay, you're taking the mickey now. We're going to start cutting, so you're going to have to start putting money up front for this as well. So eventually it becomes that they do own the house and it's not owned by the council.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. So essentially you believe there's no other way around it apart from mixing the houses together and integrating people?
Well, no, I didn't say that. I said if you put it in a state, it becomes together because of the people. So the government are stuck in a corner. And actually, you know, on one hand, you've got people crying out for housing. You've got the second hand where people are taking a sense of entitlement.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. Keep texting 53544. That's 53544. Let me just go to Padraig. Padraig, you're on Classic Hits. Adrian, Padraig.
Greetings, Mr. Boylan. And if you're surprised, Niall, I'm going to book the trend here and say, how's it going, Dirtbird?
What happened to horse?
No, that's look, you have to be different. You have to be, that's getting boring now, Niall.
Okay, Dirtbird. Okay.
Yeah, that's a bit derogatory.
It is derogatory, but I'd take it as a compliment from you, Patrick.
Take it as a compliment. That's the way it was meant, Niall. Yeah.
All right, okay, Patrick. I mean, you've heard the email from the guy after listening to yesterday's show, but not only that, he has his own situation where he's put a deposit on a house,
yeah,
and now he's found out the social housing in the estate he's just paid 375 grand for. Well, he hasn't just paid it yet. He's put a booking deposit on it, and he's thinking of pulling out of it because he doesn't want social housing beside him.
Yeah, well, there's probably a touch of a snobbery element there, and probably even more than that, Niall, is probably a situation he's worried about. The price valuation of his real estate is probably more apt in that situation. I was doing a job there recently in Black Rock, Niall, as you know, a very affluent area. And there was an estate there, a council estate there, a very well-known estate called Marion. You go into it, there's a grotto with Our Lady in it. And they were built in the 50s. But these houses, I was doing a bit of work on one of these houses, they're selling for 400K. And they're only two up, two downs. Now, but they're just beside £1 million houses on just off Newtown Park Avenue there, and so you have £1 million houses, and you have a little enclave of council houses, and I think that's a good mix now. And as regards,
obviously that's an old area, so they would be an aged population. Yeah,
I appreciate that. It's a settled area, but even you go to most any council estate, Niall, I'd say 80% of people are gainfully employed in these areas. There's probably about 20% that don't want to work. We all know that. Some of them, there's a lot of hypochondriacs out there. So you have to separate the wheat from the chaff.
I mean, look, I don't think this guy in his email, well, I don't know the person. I don't think, like me, he's not suggesting that no people shouldn't have somewhere to live. Of course, he is suggesting that. But what he's suggesting is the unfairness. Where is the, I suppose, the encouragement for him and his partner to do their own thing, to provide for themselves, to get a mortgage when somebody else just moves in next door and gets it from what he sees for nothing?
Yeah, well, I understand that now. If somebody, like I said, not everybody, most people in social housing are out working, usually on low wages. Nobody has a problem with that. I understand if this guy, where he's coming from, if he's saying that he's working and his people next door are next but one, and they're sponging off the system and no intention of working. See, the government won't come down on the long-term unemployed, Niall. If you're unemployed for 30, 40 years, and it's generational at this stage, it's obvious these people don't want to work. Now, but the government have decided to do nothing about it because they should be penalised, and their social welfare should be taken off them if they don't go on schemes or if they do not engage. A lot of them are not even engaging, Niall. There's no sanction. So why shouldn't they forever in a day abuse the system? The people that are the safety net, as we all know it is, people fall on hard times. They lose their job for a year or two because they have a work ethic now. A lot of these people have no work ethic. They haven't had it for 60 years. But the government won't, they will not.
But why would you want, I mean, judging by what he's saying, why would you want to have a work ethic? Sure, in this country it seems, as the estate agent said yesterday, she believed Ireland was turning into a socialist society. In this country it seems it doesn't matter whether you have a work ethic, you'll end up in a nice house anyway.
Yeah, well, you see,
in the end, it might take you longer to get there, but you'll end up at one in the end.
If you know how to play the system, of course, but as people, the problem in this country as well, we have a social welfare system that's two-thirds higher than the UK. Now, last time I looked, the population of the UK is in around 65 million, plus illegals, and would you believe it or not? And that applies to the north of Ireland. Obviously, it's under their jurisdiction. The teachers now in the UK are paid one third less than the Republic of Ireland with a population of 4.7 plus illegals. think about it for a second. How in the name of God can we afford to pay welfare rates two-thirds higher in the UK? They have 32 million people paying into their tax base now. We have 2 million paying into our tax base. We should be paying, our rates should be the UK rates. So my answer to this, your question is, we reduce the welfare rates to the equivalent of the UK rates. And I tell you something, Niall, you'll see an awful lot of people getting jobs very quick.
Okay, well, stay there a second. Let me just go to Martin. Stay there, please, Finn, as well, and Patrick. Martin, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Martin?
Hi there.
I know you're pissed off, Martin, and I know why you're pissed off. And I understand why you're pissed off.
Yeah, I just don't think people are really grasping, you know, what society, the mixing society is like. You know,
me as a comparison, right? And you said, by the way, and you, right? But yeah. I lived in Edenmore. That was a corporation estate.
And we know the value of that. We know that.
But if we had the money, we could have bought, as we called it at the time, a purchased house, right? So my father eventually, but the Dublin Corporation sold up, as you know. They sold the houses out to anybody who was renting them. He bought the house for £1,600, right? And the purchased houses were more closer to £2,500-£3,000. So we couldn't afford a purchased house at the time, right?
Yeah.
Which would have been in Cameron Estate or somewhere around Malahide Road or whatever it happened to be, right? So we had a corporation estate. So there was always, in society, there was always us and them. Always.
Yeah, I know. And you know, that was part of the problem in the reason why they tried mixing communities up to try and, you know, get around the ghettoising issue, which again, like you rightly said, it's people that make ghettos, nobody else. And really, you know, they didn't address that problem.
But is it, Martin, the real point of this email is the fairness in it. And I don't think he's even suggesting, I'm not suggesting people shouldn't have somewhere to live. I mean, Edenmore or those kind of housing estates were great for people who couldn't afford a house, right? But in saying that, is it fair that, you know, you, Martin, or I, or Finn, or Patrick, might be, you know, working around the clock, paying a mortgage of £1,700, and then somebody else moves in next door for practically nothing? Well, for literally nothing, because the money they do gets off the state anyway.
Well, my thing is, I would agree with the fact that, you know, it's very, how can I put it, disconcerting for an individual that you say that it's worked and being able to, you know, get up the ladder and do those things, you know, to have somebody walking in next door. Yeah, I do agree with that. But I think the whole thing is that this moment in time, the philosophy that the government have had is to make mixed communities. And I don't think it works. I don't think it works that well. But the thing is that people are going to have to
be
out.
It creates resentment.
Well, it does. It, you know, and it, you know, we spend all our times infighting. And we're not spending the time, you know, putting the pressure where the pressure should be, and that's on the government.
See, I feel sorry for her, and I mentioned Helena before on the air, so I know she doesn't mind me mentioning her name in relation to this, because herself and her boyfriend, obviously, been with each other a while, hoping to get married, want to buy a house, and she was telling me this morning the average length of time now to save for a deposit for a house, I think, was 21 years. I think that she said.
Yeah, I remember.
And yet she's watching other people getting a house for nothing. In a state where she'd like to live. And where's the fairness in that?
I mean, there is an unfairness, but that unfairness is there because they're not doing the job properly, and that's building social houses where they should be building social houses for the people that should be building social houses for. And that's the big mistake. They've tried to make it a free market economy where the builders and developers do the social thing, you know, a few percentage at the end of the estate.
20%, yeah.
And that's never worked because they're all they want to do is reduce that figure down to nothing if they can manage it, you know. And
well, they brought that in back in 2003 or 2004, where you had to build 20% social and affordable housing. Yeah.
Well, that again is the government doing what it usually does, and that's making other people responsible for the things that they should be doing, that they should be planning, that they should be sitting down in and organising. You know, I mean, we've had this with everything: banking, health. You name it, every single...
I mean, I had a woman on the air here from Coolock there recently, and her son and his girlfriend, both of them working hard, good jobs, wanted to buy a house in Chanel. I can't remember the name of the place. It was actually all over the papers at the time. And beautiful houses. These are quality homes, right? They were selling for, as far as I remember, 480,000 last year, which is probably worth about 550 now. And nice four-bedroom houses, very modern, really good-looking houses. These two kids couldn't afford it. They're just out of their price league. Couldn't afford it. And all 10 houses were given to social welfare, and they watch people coming in and say, and I'm not throwing it out there, I'm sure Patrick will be delighted, coming in from another country, never worked a day in their life getting one of these houses. They're watching Irish people, never worked a day in their life getting one of these houses. Yeah, and that must be really hurtful.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is madness. It is pure and utter madness. But, you know, the infighting it's creating is perhaps exactly what they want us to be doing, and that's fighting with each other rather than turning the attention on the government to actually throw a shape and do something constructive for society instead of just concentrating on their economics and the buddies in government, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just so twisted, and it's getting so wrong, you know? I mean, it's making everybody angry. But the thing is we're turning against each other now. We should be actually saying, look, you know, the bank shouldn't be selling off people's mortgages because the banks are not engaged.
And look, they're topics that we have talked about on the show. But when you're saying, you know, the government are dividing people, I don't think the government are necessarily dividing people. The government are making mistakes by, as Patrick suggests, maybe in some sense being too generous by times, maybe not being generous enough, but with people who genuinely need it. And what happens is, unfortunately, there's people out there playing the system. And those people who are playing the system are getting away with it and pissing everybody else off.
Yeah, but I recognise as I get older that, you know, for every 100,000 people that are out there, you're never going to get away from the 2,000 or so that are pissing the system off. You know, the thing is, or playing the system. You know, the thing is that, you know, as we move forward, we can't not take our eye off the real ball. And that is, this government is just not functioning properly.
But why is it all? I mean, I'm not a defender of the government, right? I think they're all a pack of plonkers, right? So I'm not defending the government, generally speaking, right? But why do we always blame the government? And this story this morning, which has gone viral about the six kids in the police station, right? Why is that? Everybody, all these activists and lefties are on the news all day saying this is the lowest point the government has come to, right, in this crisis.
Yeah.
Why is that the government's fault?
Well, it's because we spend so much money of our taxes, you know, 50% or 60% of it, of our money that we spend, and obviously with the indirect taxes, probably nearly up to 70% of our money goes to the government. They're there to actually create a balance in society to make it function for everyone. And I mean, whether you look at history of economics in America, or you look at it here, or you look at it in the UK, you know, where you've got feral markets like we have at the moment with the rental market, you know, and the housing market of old. You know, that is something that the government is there to actually regulate.
Yeah, but you're missing the main point I'm trying to make here. What about personal responsibility?
Well, personal responsibility, yeah, is great if you've got all your marbles in place. But again, as I get older, I recognise everybody hasn't got the same skill set that I've got. Or, they haven't got the same abilities I've got. You know, they haven't had the same opportunities.
Okay, well, hang on a second. I have to take a break. Stay there, please, Martin. Stay with me. And, Patrick, please stay with me if you can as well, because I want to ask you about that after the break as well. Patrick, you've heard Martin say that, you know, integration is the only way to do it, that you can't create ghettos. We went through that before, although he agrees that people create ghettos. But, look, from experience, we know it doesn't work. So you have to integrate people, and that's the only really way of doing it.
Yeah. Well, now, there's a very old saying, I'm sure you've heard it numerous times. It's not where you live, it's how you live. But look, getting back to ghettoism, I mean, and we've seen the situation yesterday with Murphy and his Merry Men. I think it was in Summerhill, wasn't it?
Summerhill, yes. It's Murphy and his Merry Men.
My wife told me last night, Niall, there was health and safety issues with this particular building. Is that right? Electrical faults, etc. Hence, that's why people...
Well, they seemed, according to them, their own, when they came on the air, they were talking to us, their own witness statements, they said there was no electricity, but they managed to dicky it up somehow. They obviously reconnected themselves somehow.
Well, my wife heard there was health and safety issues there. That's why these people were actually evacuated from this building. So that's not number one. Put that to bed. As regards ghettoism, of course, what ghettoism is down to, what happens, creates ghettos, is not just the indigenous people are joined in areas by foreign nationals. That's what creates a ghetto.
We've had ghettos, but hang on, with the greatest respect, we had ghettos before foreign nationals in this country.
No, I disagree now.
Well, you don't. Well, you can disagree all you want. Hang on for a second. There's always been areas and housing estates in this country, and I'm not going to start naming them now. We all know where they are.
Yeah.
There's always been, since the 1970s, there's been housing estates where there was always antisocial problems. There was no foreign nationals living in the country then. So why are you bringing foreign nationals into a project for?
because it's
I'm not saying there isn't tow rags who are foreign nationals. Of course there is.
Of course. Well, we have 1,500 of them in our jail.
Well, absolutely. Okay, but we have indigenous tow rags as well, you know.
I appreciate that. Like I said numerous times before, we had our own bogies before we imported them.
Okay, now so we had ghettos before we imported problems, yeah.
Look, to a certain extent, we had a few indigenous bogies, but the guards knew where the great-grandmother was buried, so it wasn't an issue. Getting back to... I hear this all the time, that we have a housing crisis. Housing we didn't have in the 90s, now. We didn't have in the 80s, because we had an infrastructure to cope for 3.6 million in the census of 1991. Let's get real here. The population has gone up by 1.5 million.
This crisis was caused very simply, and I don't know whether Martin will agree with me on this. What happened was we had good times. Between, say, 1998 and 2008 particularly, right, we had a time where everybody was earning very good money, which was a false economy. People had money. Houses were abundant for sale. People were buying them. So we didn't really need the social housing. So we went through a 20-year period where there wasn't really a necessity to build more social housing. All of a sudden, the economy collapsed. People's wages went down. People couldn't afford their mortgages anymore. Now we're back to needing social housing again.
Yeah, I
think, Martin, you would agree with the crux of that argument.
Well, yeah. And really what the economy was beforehand was false.
Mm. So that's it. We didn't need that social housing, Patrick.
Bad planning.
Mm. Well, hang on a second. Let me go to Charlie. Charlie, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Charlie?
How's it going? Are you well?
Good, Charlie.
I agree with a lot of the things everyone, you know, the lads are saying there, you know, that... Between if you have someone that's working all their life and they want to spend 350,000 on a house or 400,000 and they buy it and they, you know, that's great and they work their ass off for it, I don't think it's right that the council come in and buy houses in these private estates and throw people into it. I don't think that's right. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, if somebody is working hard to get to where they're getting, why should they have to be living in next door to a social house? Why should they? Like, I mean,
okay.
I mean,
so it's a fair point. Yeah. Okay. So in other words, they're paying for something they believe is a little bit better. In other words,
that's the whole idea of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, is that not the point, Martin? When you buy a house, you're paying for something in a location that you like for the luxury of that, you know, that idea. And also maybe something that's a little bit better. You might have two en suites or something in a nice back garden. So you're paying for that luxury because you're working hard. And if we're suggesting everybody should be entitled to that luxury for free, well, then we're living in an anti-capitalist socialist society.
Yeah, well, again, I mean, I said right at the beginning that, you know, there's a cause of ghettoing that they try to address with this issue, but I'm not saying it's the correct issue at the end of the day, because obviously, like you said, it creates an imbalance then. But, you know, again, it could be the way they're designing these. You know, if you've got six houses that are exactly the same style and the same makeup within an estate, then obviously, you know, it is going to cause issues and friction and what have you. So maybe they ought to look at a different style of house.
I mean, can I ask you, Charlie, if you were in that situation and you were thinking of buying a house in an area and then you realised that 20% of the houses around you were social housing, would you think twice? Is it something that would bother you?
It wouldn't bother me so much if it was all set out in the open and I was told from the beginning, okay, we're going to have so many houses that are going to be social, I'd say, okay, well, I think about that. And if I had the choice, then that's good and proper. What I think is wrong is that people are going into a private estate. They're not being told, and this is happening. They're buying their houses. They're trapped. And then all of a sudden, the councillor's sneaking in underneath where no one sees, and they're buying two or three houses. And then it could be later on. It could be older estates, and they're sticking in antisocial families that have been moved around from place to place. And you can have, and this thing about getaways, and okay, you know, years ago you had huge estates, they're making the estates smaller, which is a good idea,
mm-hmm.
because it singles down the antisocial problems in down to one or two families. But what I believe in, the problem lies in the government, the county council, the guards. They're not I mean, the more antisocial you are, the more you'll be rewarded. So if you have a so antisocial family, they're not going to be punished. They're going to be moved around. They're going to be moved from one place to another to appease this person or to appease that person. And them people, they don't be punished. They don't be told, look, you're not going to get a house. They don't get warnings. There's nothing put in place. So the problem lies squarely, I believe, on the county council, because they're not giving...
Yeah, but if they do anything about it, if they kick a family out of a housing estate, all of a sudden you see a story in the news that a family are sleeping in a car, you know, and you see a mother with 12 kids, you know, sleeping in a car or on the beach or in a hotel or whatever it happens to be, saying, oh, the government won't give us a house.
Well, again, you see, this is the problem, you see. You can be as antisocial as you wish. You can do anything you want. And you're not allowed to do anything. You're not allowed to punish them people. You're not allowed to correct them in any way, because you know why? You're being discriminated. They're being discriminated against. Now, at the end of the day, if you're antisocial and you're an outright blackguard, there has to be consequences for that. You shouldn't be rewarded. And that's the problem, I believe, that's been happening all around the country. And other families are suffering for... Maybe the problems, whole estates are suffering because maybe one family. I mean, one individual can tear down, can make a situation, a housing estate, into a shithole.
Okay, well, I'm looking at some of the text coming in. Somebody says, Niall, this only happened to us about 4 or 5 years ago. We bought a house, a beautiful housing estate. We thought this is going to be wonderful. It was the house of our dreams. All of a sudden, we had found out that 2 or 3 of the houses had gone up for sale. It seems that not only private landlords were buying the houses, but also the social welfare were putting people in these houses. Or maybe they're on HAP schemes or something like that. We're not really aware of how they got there. But there are many families, most of which have a number of kids. Padraig is right in relation to foreign nationals. Many of them are foreign as well. Okay, well, I'm not going to go into the whole foreign nationals. It's kind of irrelevant, but look. And he says, they have destroyed the housing estate. I don't allow my children outside anymore because it's just dangerous. These children are a bad influence on my children. One particular woman has 7 children and not a partner in sight. Okay, keep texting 53544. Somebody says, by law, there has to be 20% social housing in every housing estate built. That's right. But a lot of these developers are quite clever. I remember at the time, I don't know whether they're still allowed to do it or not, but what they would do is build a, you know, beautiful housing estate of, you know, luxury homes or whatever it is. And what they would do is they'd put the social housing around the corner. You know, so at least they were fulfilling their government obligation, but they would put it around the corner, away from the nice houses. But they have to be the same types of houses, but they have to be away from them, you know. Or they don't have to be away from them, but that's what they were doing. Now, I'm a foreign national and I have never taken a penny from the state. Worked my ass off to buy a house and paying to the nose for it. Drives me crazy when lazy people get more than I do for working full time. Absolutely. That's Patrick's point. It was about foreign nationals, to be honest with you. I think there was indigenous scumbags before foreign nationals came into this country. There are as many foreign national scumbags as there are indigenous ones. Now, I think you should have Susan back on your show to debate housing issues to those Sinn Féin lefty wasters. Well, I would agree with you. A lot of them are wasters, Mike. Keep texting 53544. Sit there, please, Terry. Let me just go to Pat. Pat, you're on Classic Kids. How are you, Pat?
Niall, how are you?
Good, Pat. I mean, is it an issue if you're living in a housing estate and they move people from social housing in, or is this guy just being a snob?
Well, I'm not going to label anybody anything. First of all, I'm not a lefty. I'd be centrist in my politics. My view on this is a very simple one. I'm the chairperson of a very large housing estate. There's over 400 units in it. With social protection tenants living in it, they're not the problem. The problem always lies in the private rentals, where the landlord is living in Australia, America, Canada, and I cannot contact him when his tenants are antisocial. Let's not tag and blame and assume that every person receiving social welfare is a scumbag or is lazy.
No, not at all.
They don't get their houses for free. They're means tested. You always remember
of
that.
Of course, yeah.
And unless they buy the house, they'll never own it. And they'll always have to abide by the rules of the local authorities. The local authorities...
Yeah, but I mean, with respect, it is a house for life.
Not necessarily.
But if it's a council house and they've been on the council house waiting list, they've been given a house, it's a house for life. Unless they mess it up.
I'll give you an example. My mother was living in the same house, a social housing since the 1960s, But by the way, the Lamass government of the 50s and 60s built more social housing when we had nothing than a modern-day government, and that puts us to shame. But my mother lives in that house in the 60s. Now, we're all gone. She's in the three-bed house. She's been asked to move to a one-bed flat, despite the fact that it's been her house for the last 45 years.
And by the way, that was a topic I was going to try and cover today about downsizing for elderly people.
It's not necessarily a house for life, but every 12 months she has to hand in documentation to say that her financial situation hasn't changed, and she's constantly means tested. So it's not as cut and dry. I would have more problems as chairperson of a resident association with a private rental whose tenants don't care than a social house where I can go and knock on the council front door and say, you have tenants in here, they're causing issues, sort it. And they will sort it.
But are those tenants not on, say, you know, because you're talking about social housing, are those tenants private renters or are they on HAP scheme?
A lot of them are on, they have this long, what the council are doing is HAP they're renting scheme. Houses for 15 years off landlords. Or off people going to Australia.
So these landlords, you know, these anonymous landlords that are living somewhere else in the world, or some people call them vultures, but these landlords. So essentially, the state is paying the rent for these houses.
Then
it becomes the state's responsibility as well.
It's the landlord's responsibility. I live the number of my door, two doors down. There's a lovely couple. They live in Australia, and they have to maintain the house. All the council do is pay them their rent.
Are there individuals then who in the housing estate, and let's not obviously name family names, because somebody, by the way, has texted in and says, Niall, they live in Delgany. I can't find the text here now, but he said there's one family who moved in the last year, and after they moved in, house robberies, local theft in the area, antisocial behaviour, all spiked. Everybody knows who they are. If you say it on the air, I bet you people text in the name of the family, but nothing has been done about it.
Well, if they're county council tenants, then it's up to your local county councillor and speak to him. And trust me, in my area, the local county councillor is a bloody good one. And if I go and knock on his front door, he knows I'm genuine. Because there's 400 houses in the estate I live in. That's 400 votes in a village population of 4,000. So he knows that if he doesn't do his job, that will be reflected in the next time there's a local election. And you tell him that.
Okay, but can I ask you just one question, because I'm running out of time rapidly here. But is it fair, the original email that started this conversation today was a guy who has put up 5,000 booking deposit on a house for 375 grand, right? Him and his girlfriend, or wife, both working, paid a deposit of 40, or they want to pay a deposit of 40,000, but now they found out the social housing is right beside them in the same estate, and they're thinking, oh, well, we don't want this. Is it fair that they pay 375,000 for a house and work all, you know, week round, 60 hours a week? He says he works self-employed. Is it fair that they do that and somebody else gets in there and gets the house for nothing beside them?
Well, what I'll do is I'll flip that question and say, is it fair to lump everybody into estates like Moy Ross or into Ballymun, where the government are now having to spend over 250 million to regenerate Limerick because of the mistakes made in the 70s by lumping everyone into the same area? So what's the option? The option is put absolutely, and not all social welfare tenants are scumbags. Always, if the government, if the local councils aren't going to monitor their tenants, that's their issue.
Well, hang on just very, very quickly, because I need to go to Sarah as well before I finish, because I've only got 2 minutes left. Sarah, you're on Classic Hits. Go ahead, Sarah.
Hiya, how are you? I purchased my house 12 years ago, and it's in a mixed estate, and I would be of the feeling that it doesn't work. So I just wanted to clarify, it's not snobbery. By any means, that's not the way it is, and you don't sit here, you don't think of every person in a county council house or a social housing house
is a bad person,
a problem.
Yeah,
it's not that way. It's a minority of people that are bringing down an estate, and that minority, people are in fear of coming out and saying anything against that minority. That's the problem.
That there's a minority there, and I'm not saying that everybody who gets a council house or is on the HAP scheme or a rental house is a bad person, but there are a minority in that category who, if you get something for nothing, you have no respect for it.
100%. I'm living it. I've been living here for 12 years. I live it every day. It's very soul-destroying coming home some days. Sometimes it's like a street party for the unemployed, and that's the best way to put it. And again, it's the same people all the time. It's a minority. It's not everyone. There's some fantastic people who are private owners, council tenants, social tenants that live in this estate that try their best to take care of everything. But there's a minority that continuously bring it down. And I'm at a point now where we've made a decision. I'm going to put my house up for sale.
That's sad. Isn't that sad that you got to do that?
It's horrible that I'm 12 years into a mortgage. I adore my home. If I could pick my house up and put it somewhere else, I'd be delighted. I'm not someone that's sitting here. I'm not looking for a bigger house. I just can't bear to go out to work every day and to come home and see the estate destroyed.
When you say destroyed, Sarah, what do you mean? Like people just hanging around and...
People hanging around. Like we're at a point now where there's furniture out on the road. Because they're sitting there. You know, I have my neighbour messaging me at like 1:30 in the morning saying, I can't sleep because they're out screaming and the music playing. I'm lying here with my duvet over my head. You know, that's not the way that people should live.
Yeah, sorry, just very quickly, Pat, yeah.
No, this is Charlie here.
Oh, Charlie, sorry.
I sympathise with that woman there. That situation has been happening up and down around the country. Again, like I said, it's down to the government, the council,
I agree with you on that point because the book stops with the county council and the Absolutely. Social housing association, Absolutely. And they don't adhere to their own rules.
So they're not, basically what you're saying is they're not monitoring the situation, puts you in a very difficult situation. Sorry to hear your story, Sarah, and it must be heartbreaking for you to have to do that.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. 4.